Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pixel Chicken Podcast. I am your co-host, Stryker.
And I'm Philip, and the Lord of
the Flies.
I am
Avalon.
What?
You're still going.
Avalon? I said the flies already.
Yeah, man. They're the Lord of the Flies.
Let's start over. I'm sorry.
No, we can't start over now. Yeah, no fucking pauses, man. Be like Goku.
Okay.
Anyways, this is River.
This week was a pretty eventful.
It was monumentous.
It was. It was monumentalous.
Okay, yeah, that's I think that's the right one. Let's just keep conjugating. Yeah.
Yeah, let's add.
Yeah.
So this week was big for a few reasons. For gaming news, it was equivalent of like E3 as far as just the
amount. Yeah, I feel like Gamescom brought the heat this year.
I feel like that was
What did it happen? Is it still in Cologne? Is it
yes
in Germany? Okay, it is. All right.
And I feel like this.
I went actually.
Did you? You were there?
Yep.
Impressive.
Went to. Never mind.
So as far as Gamescom, I feel like this was maybe the biggest Gamescom that I can remember. And maybe that's just because I don't remember what happened last year's, but I don't remember looking back at a Gamescom and being like, wow, there was a shitload of stuff.
Yeah.
Like I did this year. So Gamescom happened, and then us three, we also saw Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F.
We saw that. Yeah, man, in theaters. Can we just talk about this for a second?
Yes. Sure.
Now
let me just say, we don't know for sure if we're going to have time to talk about it with this week's episode, but we may do like a special thing.
Yeah, we might go ahead and just do like a full-on special DBZ episode.
That'd be great.
We'll see how things go.
Surreal to me. Yeah. Like I remember when like after that bullshit like quiz thing was over, which was honestly the longest thing. Yes. Philip, you and I were like, this is really long.
They're really taking their sweet ass time with
this. Oh, they are, and everyone around us was laughing.
Yeah.
That was the weirdest part.
They really love Dragon Ball Z and more.
It wasn't even
them.
Dragon Ball Z. It was, but anyways,
and they love the creators.
So
I was happy to see the interviews of the voice actors.
Yeah, but
the quiz
for
was
fuck's
just
sake,
overdoing
dude,
it.
Took so long. Anyways, the second that the Funimation logo came up on like a big screen theater, and I looked around, and I was in a movie theater with a bunch of dudes. I was like, wait, is this really happening? And then, you know, it was such a surreal thing. It's like the last time I remember seeing these characters was on like a 20-inch TV when I was like 13 years old.
Exactly.
Now I'm sitting in a movie theater with a bunch of adults. Uh-huh. A bunch. Like,
but they grew up with us, and they probably feel the same way.
Yeah, that's true. No, I know, but it's also, I hear it was like one of the highest grossing anime movies
huge.
Of all time. Yeah.
It's like, In the one day, it was the one day opening, it had already almost hit like the Battle of the Gods overall gross or something. Like, it was just a ridiculous box office amount.
That's insane. I wonder, was Battle of the Gods in theaters?
I guess it was. It had a limited release.
It was the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Last year.
One thing that I thought was cool, and to speak on like the crowd that was there, is you saw a lot of like older guys, maybe like our age or a little bit older, mm-hmm. and then they had like their kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just
a new generation.
Yeah, just that, seeing that kind of thing, like the new generation watching like a new Dragon Ball Z movie, it's just cool. It's cool that the legacy of the series
is
alive
going on.
Still, and it's not just looked at.
Did that animation get one hell of an update?
It was really impressive. Some of the, just like the choices they made and,
yeah,
it was really good. Phil, I was talking to Stryker briefly about this, and my one qualm with the whole entire thing was that a tiny little fucking ring laser took Goku out of the fight so quickly and effectively.
Yeah,
that happened, I was sitting there, I almost wanted to talk to you guys. Like, are they fucking serious?
Yeah,
that really.
No, that part actually did create some concern. Like, are the screenwriters just gonna gloss over that? But, you know.
Also, I felt like it.
When Frieza was like, you know, you got destroyed by a measly little blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, well, that's fine.
Yeah, but it also just felt like weird. It just felt like Why would that do anything?
Well, it kind of foreshadows it. I think they kind of foreshadow it.
Why? Like, that's what I'm just asking. Why is this little tiny...
Why is it so effective?
Why is this little tiny laser...
Because he wasn't paying attention to it. He wasn't focused.
I don't know, man.
He's
taken bigger laser beams directly to him before. I don't know.
I'm not gonna fight it. It was awkward, but it wasn't. I don't think it wrecked the movie. Basically, it was an excuse for Vegeta to get into the fight. It was just this short, sweet moment where Vegeta it's literally no contest. Vegeta just, spoilers, he just walks up to Frieza as Frieza's just throwing everything he has at him, and then Vegeta just fucks him up. And, I won't give away the rest of the movie, but.
We were pretty much spoiled the whole movie. I also felt like it started from a strangely low point. Like, it felt like they had dialed back a lot of like the power levels and stuff. I felt like at the end of GT, I feel like they're like my power level's fucking 9 billion.
Keep in mind that this takes place like. Akira Toriyama taking over and everything, all this is happening directly after Z. GT didn't happen as far as they're
concerned. Yeah, but like even at the end of Z, you know, like that shit was out like Super Saiyan 3 and all that kind of stuff. It just felt like they had dialed it back.
Yeah, well, you know, I think they
Which isn't the a bad thing. I think it balanced it out a little bit more too.
Yeah, it creates more conflict, a bit more peril, whatever. Yeah. There's more peril to it. But, you know, I think it kind of dials into a sort of sense of, you know, Goku talking about regulating your energy level so your body can take it and whatever.
Yeah.
Because Frieza was getting so damn powerful that it was actually breaking him down, and that was his demise. So I think they put a little bit of thought into that, too.
One thing that I thought was a really interesting dynamic,
We're just going to talk about Dragon Ball Z for us.
One thing that I thought was a really interesting dynamic was the what's his name? The destroyer? Beerus?
Beerus.
Beerus the destroyer.
He fucking loved food, man.
So
I identified with him more than anyone else. When he was eating Pizza Man.
Oh, I have a lot in common.
I got it.
And he's like, it's cheese, all right? Yeah.
So I thought it was a really interesting dynamic to have this character that's neutral, that has so much power that everyone is, like, afraid of him.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like that they're foreshadowing that eventually...
Well, that's what wasn't... He was... That was Battle of the Gods.
Was really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I haven't seen Battle of the Gods.
That's what Battle of the Gods was.
Was them fighting him?
Was them fighting him and him, I think, like, just... fucking them up.
Oh.
Something fierce, so...
Well, shit.
Yeah.
So...
Anyways...
Yeah, we could probably talk more about that.
Let's come back to that at some other time.
So Gamescom...
Video games! God.
Always have to sing it.
Yeah.
Really loudly.
Yeah. Striker's gonna get evicted now, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. So Gamescom happened. There's a lot of shit to talk about, but I figure let's just start off with something that we were all patiently awaiting for a really long time.
A track to explode on.
Yeah. man, I miss making hip hop.
Yeah, no, let them flow, dude. Compton, a soundtrack.
So Mafia 3.
Okay.
Mafia 3. They teased at it last week. Mm-hmm. Full blown announcement this week.
Yep.
I want to get your guys' take on it, and I also want to know this. They did release snippets of gameplay. I wanted to know if you guys had a chance to see those.
Was there video? Actual gameplay video?
Actual gameplay video.
Fudge, man.
Yeah, it was like one of the previews. But anyway, just looking at the announcement of it, the plot, who you play as, who's developing it.
Mm-hmm.
What Phil? What are your thoughts? You didn't play Mafia 2.
I didn't play Mafia 1 or Mafia 2.
Do you find this game appealing?
I do find it appealing. I find it appealing for its the area of the country it's taking place in. I find it appealing I've always wanted to play a game that was more story-centric, more so than a Grand Theft Auto. it looks like it's, look, they're not afraid to say, listen, this is a story we want to tell. And I want to go and do that. And it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun blowing up.
I'd argue to say that Grand Theft Auto games are at this point pretty story centric. I don't think that these two games are comparable, though. I think they're very much different games. Yeah, but
I think maybe Grand Theft Auto.
I think it might be unfair to say that GTA is not story centric at this point.
But I would say that they were more story centric than ever. But at this point, GTA is not story centric.
No, what I said that they are. I said that I think it's unfair to call GTA not a story centric.
Oh,
a story driven game.
I didn't hear you correctly. And you know what? You're right. I'm not saying that it's not.
Mafia 2 was much more of It was a pretty linear game.
Well, that's
like, it
what
didn't
I was
give you a lot.
Say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I get what you're saying, Phil. I think you just maybe. So you're saying that you don't have a problem with them saying that Mafia is more focused on the main story and not so much on being like this giant open world where you can do everything.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all. The explosions look great. I just noticed that the explosions look really cool.
Good explosion tech.
Yeah, good explosion
tech. So what was shown in the actual gameplay? Like I saw they had a couple of screenshots and I saw those, but I never saw the actual video.
The screenshots were taken directly from the gameplay. So you had a couple like shootouts, a couple car chases and things like that.
Any titties?
No. Fuck. Unfortunately.
Oh man, they better bring the Playboys back.
I hope so. I have to say something about the gameplay.
Okay.
Coming from playing Mafia 1 and 2, I never beat 1, but I did play it quite a bit.
Yeah.
I was a little, the gameplay that they showed was very, it didn't seem as much like a Mafia game.
Okay.
Like, from what I read, now I wasn't of the camp of people that were like, that read that you aren't playing as like someone in the Italian mafia, and they complained about that.
Was that actual sect of people?
There was people that were complaining about
people
that.
Are motherfuckers, dude.
Are they the antagonists this time?
That's just the people who I read. I'm sure there's people that complain about everything and don't. But it's a different type of story being told. Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting. I'm excited to play it. But
I thought that the cinematic trailer where he's driving in the back, I thought that was incredibly well done, and it made me really interested in kind of like the motivations behind your character. Do we have a name?
Yeah, his name is Lincoln something. What is it? Phil, look it up.
That's a good name. Lincoln's a good name. Anyway, Lincoln it just something. They did that trailer was especially good at characterizing that guy. And giving a good sense of intrigue, and like I wanted to see more of that.
Yeah,
I want to know who the fuck those other three people were.
Well, one of them is a Vito.
Was that guy Vito?
Yeah, they came out and
said
that.
Oh, crud.
The one thing that was funny is he's like, if you look at when his birth date was, he's only like 43.
Yeah, the thing is, I was thinking because this is the 60s, obviously, maybe the late
68,
60s. 68. So like, you were in the 50s at the end of Mafia, because it started in the 40s in like the World War II era, and then you went to prison for like 10 years, right? And you came back out in the 50s.
I don't remember how long it was, but it was the 50s.
Yeah, it was the 50s. So like, this dude is aged.
Yeah, he's aged
something
a
fierce.
Maybe he's just one of those guys that's like gets gray early.
Oh, he's got fox dye.
Yeah, there you go. So
his name is Lincoln Clay.
Lincoln Clay.
Lincoln Clay is a good ass name. Mm-hmm.
It's a good name.
It's a footballer.
Yeah. But he's a non-vet.
Yeah.
He's in what they non-vets. Calling... Yes. He's in the black mob, is what they call it.
Okay.
And he has ties with other organized crime, like the Irish mafia and the Italian mafia run by Vito.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's different... They make it sound like their relationships you have with these three characters are kind of central to the plot and can change.
Interesting.
Like, they have different...
Dynamically?
Dynamic. Yeah, okay. That's what I'm understanding. But with that said, I will say that, I mean, and you can never judge a game based on like quick snippets of gameplay.
Yeah.
But just, and obviously what they show at first is going to be more bombastic and stuff like that. But, what they showed was just, I was kind of like
a little
surprised. It was just like explosions, like the car physics and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that was the one thing that stood out the most. Like they're driving and the driving physics and everything looked way more like arcadey. than I would expect. Like, Mafia 2 and 1 were always known for their more heavy-feeling cars.
The cars did not... They controlled, like, 40s and 50s era exactly. cars. Yeah. Like,
they were more on the realistic side.
I would fucking know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was there.
You were there. So, anyway, they showed these cars just kind of going all over the place. And, you know, it's the late 60s, so there's going to be faster cars. Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about just, like,
the Six physics and, Paula.
Like... like, they'd hit each other, and this car would go flying off and exploding. And yeah. So,
is
I
it,
don't...
So, who's... You said who's developing it?
It's
is
a
it,
new is studio.
It, is it?
It's okay. a new studio called Hangar something or other.
Hangar 18.
It's something like that.
Okay.
But they are a studio made up of people from different... The studio's headed by a guy who used to be on LucasArts.
Okay.
You'd recognize him. He was, like, one of the main guys for, like, The Force Unleashed and some of those other games okay. that did a lot of press.
Yeah.
But it's just a bunch of people from different, you know, studios and everything, and they are developing this game. Huh. So, you know, you always
game?
Wonder... It's this studio's first game.
Okay, yeah.
You always wonder when it's a new studio and it's not the same guys who did it, if they're going to be able to carry the torch, so to speak, if they're going to be able to take what was so great about the other games and, you know, build on that.
Yeah.
And not just completely start from scratch. So that's always
that is a concern because I felt like Mafia 2, like, was such a monumental game. It was, and it was just 2K developed, right?
2K check.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, and yeah, it would be a shame if it was, I guess more, for me at least, a more actiony run and gun kind of thing.
I agree completely. Yeah. Because these games can't exist, in my opinion, in the same light as, like, a GTA and a Saints Row and things like that.
Part of it was that it was such a, like, it was so grounded in some sense of realism.
Exactly.
Which lended so much credence to the storytelling, and that's mm-hmm. that's why everything felt like there was really
high
stakes.
I'm watching
stakes.
The gameplay now when you're shooting people, and the way they when they
Oh, you're
hit.
Fucking shooting people in this one?
Yeah. You're shooting people in this game. But yeah, the you know, that looks a little bit more arcadey. It looks good, but just like you know, it's like his reaction is like kind of sped up, you know.
Yeah, he's using bullet time.
No. So and you know, that could I will you say this. It. I'm not going to say I was even fine with like the completely different departure and story and everything like that. That's cool.
Yeah.
As long as it holds on to, like, the pillars of what, in my opinion, make Mafia the series that it is.
Yeah.
And that's like you said, that's a more along the lines of, like, realism and
story-driven and subtlety. Yes.
Very much subtlety.
Yes.
And, you know,
which is like Mafia stuff is subtle. It's never like really the most bombastic, because
I'm seeing a lot of bombastic stuff right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and there was definitely moments in 2 that were like really fucking crazy and in your mm-hmm. face, and like, you know, gunning people in a burning down building and stuff like that.
Right.
And you know, you went hard for sure.
And I can say that part of this departure, you know, it's the late 60s, you're a Vietnam vet. You're a part of a different type of organized crime.
Maybe more violent.
Maybe there's more violence. Yeah. There's more, like, crazy, over-the-top stuff that happens in the story. And I'll be the judge when I actually play.
Exactly. Let's not rule it out.
Let's not rule it out.
Just hope to God there's no meat cleaver murder scene.
Oh, God.
That stuck with me, man.
One thing I wanted to say about one of the gameplay clips that stuck with me about this game. Now, keep in mind, it's the late 60s. There's a lot of, like, racial tension involved, and they said that they're going to touch on that in the story, which is kind of an interesting thing, because games don't usually go that far, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
games will touch on a lot of different subject matter, but I feel like racial tension and things like that aren't usually one thing I wanted to say. In one of the clips, he's walking up to this, like, back alley establishment, and there's a guy outside, presumably like some guard or bouncer dude. And he's a white guy.
Yeah.
And you play as a Lincoln Clay is an African American person.
Yeah.
And you walk up to him and he says, "You better get out of here," and then uses a racial slur.
Yeah.
And I saw that, and I was like, that it really, like, I've seen a lot of, like, crazy things happen in games.
Yeah.
But until you see it for the first time in a game, like, you know, I'm sure we can all remember, like, the first time we saw, like nudity or the F word or something like that.
Airblade.
Things that really stick with you.
Airblade, dude. They said, fucking that. And I had to take it back to Blockbuster.
You get freaked out. So when I heard that, and then he runs up and like stabs the guy, but
I was
kind of surprised at that. It was jarring mostly. Like, I'm not saying it's bad or good or anything. I'm just saying it was like, whoa, it's going there.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So,
yeah, you're right in that you don't usually see. Like, I'm trying to think. I felt like when you said that, I was like, wait, no, there's definitely been games that have dealt with that, and there's been games that have like flirted with that, I guess. But never so like to like take it forward and like and actually have that be a central theme or something like that.
Yeah,
and BioShock kind of Infinite kind of got around there and around that kind of part with that kind of, you know, colonial American kind of thing. But still, there was never any like open racism that I can recall. But
it was more of like a class.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Sort of. You know, what am I trying to say? Like war, like between classes and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. And they even said that they're like, you know, you're going to encounter times where like the police are going to be more, I don't know. Like they didn't say police brutality, but the police are going to be more inclined to like, you know, maybe stop you or like people that you're acquainted with or something like just different things like that. So I thought that...
Do we know when this is out?
2016 is all they've said.
Okay. So. All right.
We will see.
Yeah, we'll definitely see.
I'm excited.
I'm excited. If it's going to be anything like... If it's going to deliver any of the experience that Mafia 2 did, I will be in. So, rest in peace, Joe Barbaro.
Joe Barbaro, wherever you are, wherever you're buried.
He's in a DLC.
So I guess we'll just get right into some of the news here.
Let's go for it.
Go crazy.
Gamescom 2017.
What do you guys know about the game Scale Bound?
I watched the gameplay trailer, and I think it looks super cool.
I know a couple things.
The moment the kid, I mean, at first, the moment the kid jumped off a dragon and put his headphones on and started listening to dubstep, for the first couple of seconds, I was like, "You got to be fucking kidding me."
That's some Platinum Games ass shit right there.
But then it just warmed up to me really quick, and I got it, and it just felt like a really fresh approach to epic fantasy.
Their games have always been that, like, the most quirky, like, real hard style, like, things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I like it.
In your face.
Yeah. That sounds like when you said he jumps off a dragon and listens to dubstep, that's like, that's a Platinum game there. That is a Platinum game.
All
right.
Well, I'm down with it. Yeah. I think it's cool.
So this is developed by Platinum Games. It's Xbox One exclusive.
Okay.
In the gameplay, they...
So you're going to have to... So I assume this is just another character action game, or...
But it's not... To me, it wasn't like anything... it didn't remind me, like, when I watched the gameplay, it was very different from some of the other Platinum games. The combat almost looked a bit more like a open world, sort of like some of the newer Final Fantasies in a way, like the action sequences.
Okay.
Mixed in with like he fought a dragon.
Yeah.
And there was almost like some kind of Monster Hunter-esque or Dragon
Dogma. His buddy. The dragon's his buddy.
I know, but there's another dragon that he fights later on that he like jumps.
It does. It does. Now, you know, I'm taking a peek at it right now, and it is looking... Like, strikingly... This looks strikingly similar to Final Fantasy XV.
That's what I thought.
This is weird, yeah.
I'm glad that I have somebody to back me up.
So you say, like, Dragon's Dogma and stuff.
Yes. And the reason I said Dragon's Dogma is because later on, at some point in the gameplay,
and Monster Hunter and stuff like this giant stuff that you are, you know... Kind of like... Also, kind of off topic, but also I kind of got that sense from Horizon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the sense that you're, like, you know, finding weak spots and kind of hunting these monsters and praying them down. But anyways, back to Scalebound. So, this is one of those games that has been completely under the radar for me, like 100%.
I think it's been that way for a lot of people.
Yeah?
It's just, it seems that way anyway. It's been the way for me, too. And I feel like it's just one of those games that, like, during these conferences and stuff, it's not getting... a ton of attention from the, you know, the general public and stuff. And, you know, it, which I kind of think, like, Platinum Games, they have their niche audience.
They
but,
do.
But then they don't usually, like, when they come out, sometimes they'll, you know, other Platinum Games will, some...
But, like, the number one, like, cult classic generator.
Yeah, very much so. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. So maybe this will be kind of along the same line, but since it's an Xbox exclusive, I almost feel like Microsoft's going to push it really more heavily.
Really hard. Than yeah. Most well, you games. Get you like any exclusive game gets pushed.
Exactly.
It's it. Yeah. Like any kind of exclusive, like play it here first. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So the story sound. I mean, the characters.
So what is break down like the information you have? What is the story like? What
I
is
don't
it?
Know. Do you, hardly. I know yeah. that you play as a character that's like. He's half dragon.
He had a dragon, like a dragon hand. Arm. Yeah. Yeah.
And you have like a pet dragon and live in this world
and train
populated
it.
By other.
You gotta learn how to train it.
Training your dragon. So, other than that, I don't know outside of that, like what all is involved in the story. I really don't. But it looks interesting. I like the landscape and the.
Yeah. Very colorful.
The world is very colorful. Which I love this
focus bringing on color back to games.
Yes.
Last generation was so orange and brown. Like it's nice to see. Yeah,
it's
this
so
is nice,
nice
to see color.
It's very refreshing. Mm-hmm.
It's nice to see with yeah, Killzone Shadowfall with killed also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, it's
like that was the last game that had no color, and then
games can be games can only look so great when they aren't. Taking full advantage of the color
wheel. Yes, exactly. Like, oversaturate your shit. Be like The Witcher 3.
Yeah. Yeah. God, some scenes in The Witcher 3, like when you are, I don't know if you guys, Phil, I know you have, but there's certain scenes later on where you're in, it's not a spoiler, but yeah. in Kaer Morhen.
Yeah.
When you go there, where you step out and look upon, like,
the mountains
and the lighting.
It is beautiful.
It's just incredible.
I saw, I'm just now, like, wandering around Skellige for the first time.
It should be pronounced Skellige.
No, it shouldn't.
No, it absolutely
it
shouldn't.
It was called Skellige. It would end with an A and an H.
No.
No, it wouldn't.
Whatever.
Don't argue.
Oh, my God. Anyways, I've just been wandering around. And some of, like, that is also that place. I don't know if it's just a new place, but some of the those areas, like, with just streams and, yeah. and it's beautiful. I also saw a screenshot of him in, like, some... really vast, like, expansive, like, desert area, which I have no clue what the fuck that is.
Oh, jeez, I don't even know what
yeah.
that is.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, in The Witcher 3?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so...
Yeah, don't spoil it, no.
That,
I don't,
that
no.
is gonna be
fucking
cool.
Fucking... Okay.
Okay.
I thought you were gonna just go, oh, no. yeah, that's when he goes...
No, it's just, it's gonna be cool. You'll be interesting.
Okay, yeah.
You scared me, Phil.
You did scare me. You're a loose cannon with that kind of shit.
You are, Phil.
Love
so,
you, though.
So, well. Another game that they show, this one's probably, for, I don't know when release date wise for the yeah. new Crackdown, which is now called Crackdown 3.
Which is now okay. called, I called it.
You called it, they heard you.
I called it.
Changed the name.
We've got a surprising amount of clout in the game.
<We do. laughs> Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
So, Crackdown 3.
Peter Moore is our number one fan.
Okay, that would be awesome.
It would.
They showed some pre-alpha gameplay of it, and... Just watching the gameplay, yeah. like, that wasn't something to me that was
it looked like super it looked like Crackdown. It did look cool, though. Like, the... Yeah. I so I didn't know to the extent of the destruction.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you could, like, just destroy larger buildings as a whole. But when they were showing, like, you know, just shooting, like, squares out of walls and stuff like that, like, that's some really impressive stuff. It's a huge bummer to me. Huge that it's only in multiplayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
The more I see of it, the more I'm like... Fuck, guys, figure something out.
So I'm going to level an entire city in multiplayer with my friends, and yeah. then I'm going to go back into single
back
player
into the city.
And be expected
and there's,
to...
I mean, I guess there are legitimate reasons that, story-wise, that you can't just level the entire city and then go and play the story
right.
with the design missions, but, like, fuck, that's a bummer, yeah.
But how am I... That's, like, such a huge design feature that it's like... It would be like in Red Faction, Guerrilla.
Yeah.
You know, which the game was that was known for its destruction and how awesome that was.
Yeah.
If that was only available, because you leave that out.
Because that, I mean, that dictated the way you played also.
Very much so.
Like, you know, you approached that shit differently in Red Faction because you knew that you could come in from any angle.
It's almost like, I feel like if you do it that way... It's almost like you're penalizing me in a way because, like, I go play multiplayer and and I'm trying to kill this enemy, so I destroy this part of the building, so it comes, and then I go in multiplayer, and it's like,
I just have to shoot this guy.
I just have to run
it
around.
It does seem really, like a really weird...
I'm curious to see how they'll balance it. But I did say, one of the things to go off of...
Is multiplayer just going to be a fucking disastrous madhouse the entire...
It looks like it. Jesus. I just saw... Okay, it looks like it. Watch this.
No, I know. I've seen this, and it's just like... It's gonna be like playing analogous to... Remember Red Dead Redemption's multiplayer?
Yes.
How it was just the most, like, frenetic madhouse thing.
It was just...
that you could never, like, get a hold of. You're just dying for no reason all the time.
Yes. You had no idea.
Like, the death ticker was just like... Like, no one was alive.
And then all of a sudden, you'd never see anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
45 minutes.
Goodness.
So, one interesting thing technology-wise about the destruction is that they did show that certain buildings, they went into like this, I can't think of a good word to describe it, but they went into this basically...
Like a debug thing.
Debug mode where they were showing different buildings that were color-coded being handled by different servers. So the destruction is being handled by a server somewhere on the cloud and a different server for each... Which is interesting. It's interesting because Microsoft touted, you know, their cloud computing.
It's the first thing that I've ever seen that actually is like, okay, you can actually get some. Which leads me back to when they were talking about this. Do you remember when we were talking about Shinra Technologies?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which leads me back to like, okay, maybe that's a legitimate thing. Is like, I just, you know, obviously now that we can see the way that it can be implemented into and architectured out. Maybe it wasn't just all blowing stuff out, you know, out their ass.
Yeah, that's very true.
And it's, you know, that's, yeah, so.
And I could see that being, if that works, I mean, if that could be the future of how games are,
totally.
How processing and stuff is done.
It's done, yeah.
Because, I mean, why not do that? Because then you don't have to worry about...
It has to be expensive.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, it has to be super expensive, so. Yeah. But yeah, like...
That'd suck if you're shooting down a building and all of a sudden that server hits its load.
Exactly, and it's halfway down and then just just snaps back into place.
It wouldn't work in the area I live. It wouldn't work for me at all.
Phil, I heard you're getting Google Fiber.
Yeah.
What's Google Fiber? I never even heard of it.
Never mind.
No, let's explain it.
Right, is that supposed to be like that superior internet connection?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great. That's
great. I hear you're getting... You alone, though.
Just your house.
Just your house.
Oh. Must cost a lot.
Your target demographic.
Good for you, though.
Yeah. Most people don't like you now.
Another Xbox exclusive.
Okay.
That got... shown off in quite a bit of detail. It's been shown before. Quantum Break.
Yes. Yeah.
It looks cool as hell.
That shit's looking dope.
So it's been... Gameplay has been shown. Trailers have been shown for this game in the past. I feel like this was the most polished and the most promising that I feel like it's looked. So
can I just say, Remedy doesn't make bad games.
No.
They've not made a bad game.
Nope.
This looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
This looks so cool.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure if this just might be like the first game to take whatever Prince of Persia had created with that whole time manipulation thing and really expand upon it in such a drastic way.
Time shifted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool effects that...
That's the thing is that like a lot of games have done time stuff. But the way that they're portraying it, and now the fidelity that we have on these new consoles, it's just like, it looks fucking cooler than it ever has.
They're really milking it for all.
Yeah, they're really, it's very stylized, and it's very, like, you know, full of, you know, particle effects, and also, it, you know, it's scripted demo, so it looks like the animation looks really cool. And not, so are they still doing that whole thing with, like, a live-action portion of this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is that, like, just interwoven into the game, or is that a standalone, like...
They showed a few, like...
Like, I saw a gif of, yeah, like, this swap where it was this really awkward swap where they showed, like, a CG guy coming out of a van, and then it just cuts to live-action for, like, 4 seconds and then goes back to CG. I'm like, That seems abrasive.
It does, and I don't know if that's... I don't know how it works, honestly.
Yeah.
All I know is they've showed live action.
But weren't they planning on, like, making some actual TV show that, like, ties in, like, Defiance tried to do?
It was going to be about... it was going to revolve around the... The show's apparently supposed to revolve around the villains, based off what I've read.
Okay.
And the game's revolving around the heroes.
Okay.
Interesting.
Huh.
So...
Yeah.
That's another thing to go to a good point, is... this gameplay demo and trailers they've showed off all of a sudden have a large cast of well-known actors.
Mm-hmm. Guys from Game of Thrones, guys from X-Men. You have the guy who played...
Iceman.
Iceman. He's like the main character of the game. Yeah, he's the guy you're playing.
Who do we all have? Are you at liberty to say?
I don't know the names. I just know that they're from... There's guys from Game of... Two dudes
is it, it's all Thrones. It's all like television and stuff?
Yeah, everything. Television okay. actors.
Yeah.
Lost. There's one of the guys from Lost.
Evangeline Lilly.
I don't know.
I don't think so. I just threw out a name. I knew she's in Lost. I think it looks awesome.
I wanted to say another thing about it that looked cool.
It also looks very like a Remedy. Like it seems like something that they would do, and it.
Yeah. It looked like there's some kind of noir elements, like neo noir, in intermixed with the story and trying to figure out like, I. There's something weird. Like, the story is basically, I think, that your brother, like, he's working on some experiment, like some time-altering experiment, disappears, comes back, and he's way older and is now the villain.
Oh, yeah, okay. Like, I think I heard that, yeah.
So that's a really interesting dynamic.
I identify with that really strongly.
Do you?
Yeah.
You identify with that? You've seen a lot of shit, man.
Trust me, man.
But is your brother a big corporate conglomerate?
Yes.
No, he's from 2053.
Oh, shit.
He started Tyrell Corp.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tyrell, man.
Oh, man. And more than anything, the game just looks beautiful.
It looks gorgeous, yeah.
The graphics really and stuff. Nice. One thing that I thought was really cool was there's a scene in the gameplay demo where like time literally stops. Like, it gets messed up and time stops. And he gets in a shootout with these other time-altering guys. And he shoots a couple times. He like shoots at a piece of wood or something, and the debris from it flowed up and then just stay there
and then stops. Yeah,
just
and
the idea of like a secret war going on, at the speed of light or faster than the speed of light. That's just so cool.
That's a good point. Yeah, that nobody.
No, we about. Could. We could, there could be so much shit
there
happening.
Should be some
all
huge
around us right
karate
now.
Fight happening right in your living room, and we're not seeing it.
We wouldn't know.
We would never know.
Until all of a sudden, a piece of dust just...
it's just... Oh.
So, I think that game looks really cool.
Yeah, me too.
I'm excited to see more. I think it's coming... They announced
soon,
the release
right?
date.
The release date.
Phil, find that immediately.
Phil? Find that release date.
You're a fact checker. You always have been.
You've always been the fact checker. I know it's early 2016.
Okay.
And,
games are starting to come.
They are. I mean, that... Like the next,
are we ever gonna? Here's the thing: games are starting to come. Are we ever good? Are we ever gonna have
April 5th.
A new like Gears of War moment? In the fact that like this game is so not something that could have happened last generation.
I think we will.
I'm scared that we won't because of the way that game development has gone.
I know exactly what you're saying, and that could very well be, but I think that we're going to get a game in the next, you know, whether it's this fall, winter, or early 2016. Yeah. I think one of the big name releases that's coming out is going to just blow us away.
Because games look nice. They look real pretty. But, like, there's not yet been that moment where I'm like, holy shit. This is brand. This is like. This could not be
where you sit back and like.
This, yeah, and just like. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Like Witcher 3 was gorgeous, but
it wasn't. It wasn't the pusher.
It wasn't. You know. It wasn't that. It wasn't that thing. That was like. You know. I admired it, but I haven't been like. This is fucking brand new.
Well, I think I have, and I think that maybe part of that is because a lot of the games you've been playing have been on PC.
Yeah.
That might have something to do with it. So like, maybe you haven't played like. Skyrim on 360 in a while or something like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Coming from not too long before Witcher, playing, I don't remember what it was, playing an older last generation game, I remember playing it and thinking like there was a couple times in the game where I just sat back and marveled at the you know, the graphics and everything in it. So I think we're there. I think we're going
to
get there.
We're going to get there. I hope so. I'd like to. I'd like to show my dad something that he doesn't care about.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so too. I hope so too. So another thing to go off of, now this is I think the last piece from the well, a couple more from the Microsoft part of it, but one of the things that Microsoft showed off was Rash from Battletoads in Killer Instinct.
Oh,
and
well,
they,
hell
and
yeah.
To go off of that, they also announced Killer Instinct Season 3.
Season 3.
Which is exciting.
With the rest of the Battletoads.
That would be cool. I would be fine with that. Just all three or...
I don't know. There's three? I don't know.
There's Rash, Pimple, Poop.
Yeah. that's crazy.
It was like watching the gameplay.
So you really like Killer Instinct?
I love it.
Yeah.
I played a little bit of it. It felt like I played it at your apartment like a month or so ago. It felt like a solid fighting game.
I've played maybe...
It's more than a solid fighting game.
I played
game.
Maybe 2.5 minutes of it in my life.
How do you like... is it your favorite? Still your favorite fighting game ever?
What?
It was never my favorite fighting game ever.
Well, okay. Well, how do you like it in comparison to Mortal Kombat X?
They're so different. It's hard to... Hard
That's
to
fair.
They're so...
Like,
they,
I understand
they, like,
entirely.
Killer Instinct's always been a very heavy combo focused game.
Yeah.
And like you get into combos and you don't fucking stop if you can help it.
Yeah. It's its own type. I mean, just as a package though, to answer your question,
yeah.
Phil, like as a package fighting game, compared to other fighting games, it's you know, up there with the best of them as far as the content and just the way it's delivered and everything. It's just it's a incredibly well put together and well done fighting game. It's amazing.
Iron Galaxy bringing the heat.
Yeah, bringing the heat.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see season 3. And I'm excited to play.
So who else is coming with season 3?
Nobody knows yet.
No one knows?
There was like a teaser for some other character.
Hey Arnold.
Gerald.
Yeah, Gerald's coming.
Oh god. Just all these 90s
all these cartoons.
The fat girl from All That.
Rocco.
Yeah.
You entire life, man.
Yeah, no, I know.
No, that'd be cool, Phil. I'm just kidding, man. They also announced, I don't know if you guys are even into this, but they announced Halo Wars 2.
I played Halo Wars and it was a cool RTS game. Yeah. I don't care, though. Yeah. It's weird. It's weird that they also, like, closed. Didn't they?
Did they?
I
didn't watch the conference as it happened.
I think they closed with Halo Wars 2.
Interesting. Halo Wars 1 was a weird game.
Halo, yeah. Just and it's, it so, yeah. Who is it made by again?
It was somebody. Oh, I have to look this up. I don't remember.
I keep wanting to say Crystal Dynamics, but I know it's not Crystal Dynamics. I forget who it is, but it's someone that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
Probably
Platinum.
Yeah, probably Platinum. Yeah, why not?
Ensemble Studios?
No, that's who made 1.
Oh, that's what...
Yeah.
You mean 2?
I mean 2, yeah.
Oh, I didn't even...
Some other studio is making 2.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So, yeah, that was a weird thing to see. I was like, great.
Interesting. I'm kind of curious who it is.
Yeah, find out.
I'll never
Total
find
War.
It.
Total War Developer.
Total... Okay, that's a game that they made.
God damn it.
Developed by Creative Assembly.
Creative Assembly, yeah. That's
do it.
I knew it was. I knew it was two. I knew it was two words starting with a C.
Who? What did they? Oh, they. Okay,
they
so
made Total War.
Total War.
Yeah.
Well, then it'll probably be a really.
They're Total War developer.
It'll be a good RTS.
Yeah, probably.
Because I don't think the first one was developed by people who had
any
RTS experience, or maybe very light
Ensemble.
Nothing
on
the level of the Total War series.
I've barely heard of Ensemble. So yeah, Total War is well regarded. Which also, Total War is like very large scale RTS. So I wonder if this is going to be more of, because Halo Wars was a relatively small scale. Like you were never commanding entire armies. You were commanding like maybe fire teams at the largest.
Yeah.
And at least in my experience. And so, but Total War, you're like commanding thousand troops. So that's an interesting, idea. So
yeah.
Anyways. Halo Wars 2.
Another game that got showed off at pretty good length, more than I expected, was Dark Souls 3.
Yeah. So,
Phil, did you play Bloodborne? I don't remember.
I didn't play Bloodborne. I played Dark Souls.
I just don't think I can do those games.
You know what? I'm with you. I was into it for a while. You remember? I was into it.
I really try to, and I really like... I really enjoy them for, like, 5 or 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But then I peter out so quick on them.
You know, I was describing Bloodborne to somebody.
Yeah.
And I told them that there's a fine line between being so difficult that it annoys you and you don't want to play a game, and so difficult that when you finally get past it, it's rewarding. And
well,
you
the thing
keep
is,
going.
I think I've always felt very rewarded, and I felt like they were more punishing than they were anything. I don't think they were unfair. I think that they were the kind of games that were challenging in their systems. I don't, and like when I fucked up, I fucked up. Like it was my fault. I never felt. Well, very, very few times I actually felt cheated by, like, a Dark Souls or a Bloodborne game. But there's some parts, like, you know, where you see traps or people hiding in corners. But, like, it always felt like a pretty fair game. I just don't know if I can... It doesn't hold my attention, I guess, for very long.
That's fair.
So. Are they doing new stuff? Like, I guess I'm not, like, privy onto the Dark Souls stuff to know what's changing. But, like, I feel like that's one of those, like, that's a fighter. Like, in the sense that when there's a new one, like, people from the outside can look at it and be like, this is the same exact game that they released.
Mm-hmm.
But for people who are actually into this genre and this style of game, like, there is these small, minute differences that make a world of difference, like, in the way that, you know, they actually operate and stuff.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I don't know as far
and
as...
And I don't know if there's even that information out there yet.
For, I don't for know. Three. If, I'm sure there's some, more than probably I
saw
know.
A terrifying gif of it.
Yeah. I know that, I know that from watching the gameplay that they're taking a few cues, at least, from Bloodborne. And some of the, like, graphically...
Didn't Bloodborne get really terrifying later in on?
Bloodborne got terrifying pretty quickly.
Did it really?
Okay. There was just some, like, unsettling
some of the monsters
shit.
There. I mean, I've seen some footage. The monsters are incredible.
I just saw this one gif where the guy was walking down, like, a dark room, and then all of a sudden,
yep.
out of the ceiling, there's this gigantic face that just shows up. Did you not... You know what I'm talking about?
Okay, so there's, in Bloodborne, there's a few parts that are incredibly unsettling.
Yeah.
There's a point in the game, and there's this is spoilers for anybody that, if you haven't beaten Bloodborne yet and plan to, don't listen.
Skip 45 seconds into the future.
Yeah. So in Bloodborne, there's a couple spots that I remember that were incredibly unsettling to me. Do you guys mind if I...
Yeah, go for it.
Go for it. Yeah.
Okay. So there's this one part in the game where you go into this, you fight this one boss, and it's in like a dream-like sequence. And after you...
The spider.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rom, the vacuous
yes,
spider.
Yes, yes,
you fight him, and after that, you unlock this other dimension where you can see these things now that are everywhere.
Okay.
And I forget what they're called.
I don't like that.
Now. But anyway, you find out that these things have been everywhere in the game the whole time, and you just didn't know them. In fact, one time early...
They've been at light speed.
Just fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
One time early in the game... there's this part where you go over and, like, grab this armor. And these games do this really well. They condition you for something that's going to happen later.
Of course, yeah.
So you go and you pick up this armor early on in this game. And this giant portal opens up. And you're looking up and you're like, what the fuck is that? And this giant nasty hand grabs you and, like, picks you up and just hurls you somewhere. And you end up in this crazy place. And you find out those are the creatures that you couldn't see.
Oh.
And then once you fight Rom the Vacuous Spider, then you can see them. And they're everywhere. They're just these giant creatures.
Ooh.
And they're like hanging on
and
stuff.
They're not doing anything?
They just hang there.
Oh, that's fucked.
But if you get too close to certain parts of them, they will try and grab you.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
And then there's another part that was really unsettling to me for a different reason. And River, I've talked to you about this.
I
want to
know, yeah.
Nothing scares me more than infinite just nothingness.
Yes.
And in games, like when you fall under the game's geometry and just fall, that just terrifies me for some reason.
Just turn off your N64 at that point.
Yeah. So there's this one part in the game, and it's actually optional. So a lot of people probably didn't see this.
Okay.
You you go up in this like secret area, and it's the only way to get like the full upgrade for your weapon.
Okay.
Is to do this. You go up in this one area and you pull this lever and it drops this giant thing, and you only catch a glimpse at it. It drops it down into this like this dark, dreary like cavern, and that's all you see. And you know, for some people, I'm sure they saw that and they're like, "Oh, that's fucking weird. Maybe I'll come to that later." But for me, I actually found the spot where you go down and you go into the cavern. You go in this little cage and you pull another lever and you go elevator down into it. And it's just complete black.
Ooh,
nothing. Yeah. You can't see anything. And then you walk forward and all of a sudden you see the thing that fell down. And it's this giant, like, brain-looking thing with eyes everywhere. And the eyes are just, like, following you. As you move around. And
that's literal nightmare stuff.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It is.
That's weird enough that you would actually just have a nightmare of that.
And there's this mechanic in the game called Frenzy.
Yeah.
And it's basically, I guess it's supposed to be like you going fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And once you hit your frenzy meter fills, then your health starts going down rapidly. And I guess this thing, I was such a high level at the point that it didn't hurt me, but it will induce a frenzy that's like really quick.
Yeah.
But I just killed it right away, and then you get this item from it. But it was just incredible. There's so much stuff in that game that's unsettling.
It seems scary.
It's a very vague storytelling. So
that's one of the things also that like lends it to being so like everything is so unknown and mysterious and like. Yeah,
it creates this. I know I can say this about Dark Souls. It's the same way. And it creates this sense of loneliness.
Yes. Yeah, it's a very
Bloodborne
lonely,
more so.
Developers do that.
Yeah. Bloodborne is on a scale very great for that. And
that's...
let me tell you something about Bloodborne. One of the coolest and most like well done and satisfying final boss fights that I've ever experienced in a game. Just because of who and how it's done.
Yeah.
It's
the Arkham Knight?
No.
Okay.
It was way cooler than that.
Okay, yeah.
It was just really cool. Anyway.
Anyways.
I could go on about
that. Yeah, let's get
back
on.
Dark Souls 3, I'm excited for it. I like that it's taking huge.
I'll play it. I'll definitely play it. I'll definitely buy it and be like, I'll play it for 6 hours and get on to the second boss or something. And I played Demon's Souls a lot more than any Dark Souls game.
I played Demon's Souls. Demon's Souls was the first one I played, and it really got me.
It was the first one.
Yeah. It got me hooked.
I mean, there was Kingsfield back on PS1 and PS2.
But I actually didn't play all that much of Dark Souls 1. I played Demon's Souls and then kind of skipped out.
I played a lot of Demon's Souls.
Played a little bit of Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And then got it back into it with Bloodborne, but
So anyways.
Anyway, Dark Souls 3, I'm excited. It's going to be cool. I don't know how much you guys know about Homefront Revolution.
I know a lot.
Admittedly, I don't know much.
So it's a crisis game, basically, from what I understand, in the sense that it has an open encounter design, in that you go through it. Started out as a Crytek game, obviously. So that's about all I know.
I saw some clips of it.
I learned what I know about the game from watching like the latest gameplay walkthrough, and I kind of got a vibe that it almost feels like a inner city Far Cry sort of
thing. Yeah, and that's Far Cry Crysis are very similar style games in their encounter design and stuff like that. So
they're driving from point to point, and
is it open world? I remember it being actually open world.
It seems that way. From
like you go back, see your base and restock, and then go out and do other stuff, and
I believe so.
And that kind of shit, yeah. I don't know. I'm interested. I mean, the first one was...
It was
whatever.
It was whatever.
I played a lot of the multiplayer.
Yeah, the multiplayer was arguably
the
most interesting part about it.
It was pretty fun. Had a good system. I don't know. Like, what do they show? Did they show... They showed gameplay and...
Yeah, they just kind of showed they went to the spot and, like, fought off some... there was, like, some...
Is there a lot of gadgets? Thing. Like, that's the thing I remember from first seeing this. That there were, like, a lot of gadgets which opened up a variety of ways to, you know, open up more ways to kind of take on these combat puzzles and stuff like that.
He had... at one point, he deployed, like, a little remote control car.
Car, yeah.
Things like that. I'm sure there's a lot more. There's
RCXD.
RCXD.
Yeah.
There's stuff like that, and you know, a lot of ally stuff, okay. Like him talking with certain people. It seems like that's going to be play a big part. So
there's going to be a time when you press X to jump into a mass grave.
I forgot, like, about that.
No, I didn't. I sure man. Didn't. That was.
You told me about it. I never played it.
Oh yeah, no, it's pretty distasteful and like.
What game?
Homefront, the first one. There's this part where you press. It's a button prompt. It says, you know how Call of Duty does that. Yeah. You press X to do this. This was the ultimate one. As you were standing on top, you were looking at this mass grave, and then you hear enemy soldiers coming, and the thing that says, press X to get in mass grave.
Whoa!
And it was like one of the most like 14-year-old deep things ever. It was like, oh, this is so grim and like,
oh, this is gonna be deep.
Yeah, this is gonna be so fucking dark and
it's gonna
like
be fucking deep.
Yeah.
Oh shit! Man, I just figured that's the mind state.
That was all the developers. Yeah, they were sitting in the computers like coding it, and they're like, oh, this is gonna be so fucking deep, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be fucking deep. Fucking party later. Yeah,
they partied after they made that scene there. It's like,
yeah, they fucking celebrated.
They went home and took shots.
Yeah. We're gonna get the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, man, I hope they didn't think that.
So,
anyways,
what, they're just handing them out? Anyway,
yeah, they are. Anyways, yeah, Homefront 3, what else is there? Homefront 2, whatever.
Yeah, Homefront the Revolution.
Yeah.
I will say that I'm...
Great title.
Yeah.
Not.
Hopefully this... Anyways. I don't know. We'll see.
Homefront the Revolution could easily be a TNT drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like The Ship?
Yeah, exactly. Or like Burn Notice or some shit like that. Yeah.
Like that name does...
Burn Notice was on USA.
Okay, what the fuck ever. USA.
Are any of those shows any good?
I don't know.
I heard Burn Notice actually was a pretty
Burn Notice was on for a really long time, so I'm going to say it's okay.
I heard The Last Ship was alright too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I want to watch Sons of Anarchy.
I'm not saying that the shows are bad quality. I'm just saying the kind of
I'm just
quality.
Saying that, yes. I'm just saying the subject matter, the way that it sounds, yeah.
It just sounds like it'd be like a USA, teaser that you'd see it before the movie trailers start.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 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 exactly. It's
with
one of those first
the Revolution,
yeah.
We just wanted to really get fucking deep. So that's Homefront the Revolution.
It's going to be deep.
It's going to be deep. It's going to be deep.
Yeah, that's for sure.
A couple of things I wanted to touch on, just to get your guys' opinion. There are things that I'm maybe a bit more passionate about, and because it's wrestling and NBA.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA one, not so much. But WWE 2K16, they came out with basically like a feature set of the game. River, you and I have talked about this a bit.
They're doing some smart stuff.
Yeah, they're doing some smart
stuff. Going hard on wax.
Phil, I want to get your opinion on this. We'll see what you think about it. And River, obviously.
Absolutely not.
A wrestling match, as you guys know, doesn't exactly as a wrestling match plays out when you watch it on TV or a big pay-per-view, that doesn't always translate exactly to what you have in a video game or what's fun in a video game.
Yeah.
You know, the translation is tough because a wrestling match, a good wrestling match, is scripted, and there are certain things that take place in it that maybe don't fit in a game. So, so the games, in a sense, just become, to go off what you said, River, they just become basically fighting games that take place in a wrestling
game. Yeah.
You know, they become with grappling mechanics and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just two people trying to
it's real
one up
competitive.
Each other. Yeah, it's real competitive.
Well, the bigger point is that you lose the natural push-pull drama of a wrestling match.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know.
And there has been wrestling games that have done a really, really good job of that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Games that, you know, most people
probably Fire Pro? Haven't.
Fire Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
King of Coliseum is another one, which is only came out in Japan.
WCW versus NWO.
Those games did a much better job, honestly, than some of the games nowadays.
Games are great.
Those games. Now, one thing that makes this more apparent when you, like, watch, like, the last few years or however long it's been, if you watch somebody play, like, two experienced guys play, you know, WWE 2K15 against each other, and their objective is to win. Mm-hmm. What you're going to end up seeing is two guys reversing each other's moves over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. To the point where all you're not even seeing moves anymore, you're just seeing reversals over and over.
Yeah.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
So you see the same reversal animations over and over and over again. And it just becomes like this war of who can fuck up and not hit the reversal. So two things I wanted to point out, two mechanics that they're introducing in 2K16 that I thought were very interesting. And keep in mind, Phil, in WWE 2K15, they're trying to go in a simulation approach, similar to what you'd see in like an NBA 2K or Madden to a certain extent. You know, like a sports title. They're trying to be like what you see on TV.
Got it.
So one mechanic is that at the beginning of a match, you have a certain set, you have a set number of reversals that you can hit, and then they have like a warm up time. So you hit one and you can't immediately hit another one. And I thought this was in like a really incredibly smart way to approach the idea of reversals, because you can't not have reversals, because you have to be able to have some sort of defensive mechanism for somebody that's just hitting a move over and over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but otherwise you're just sitting there watching. But it also has that sort of strategy in mind, because mm-hmm. you're thinking, when should I hit my reversal? Should I wait till later when he tries to hit his finisher? Should I do it now and get the momentum going on my side? Yeah. And so to go off what you said, River, you have this push and pull, because, you know, you have your reversals and you hit it and get going on an offensive, you know, tear.
Yeah.
And then the next guy later on hits his reversal and he goes on an offensive tear. That's the way I'm thinking about it.
I mean, that's the way that it happens, too.
And you have major reversals and minor reversals that use up, like, a bigger and smaller stock of your reversals.
Okay.
That can turn the tide even more in your favor. And I just, like, I read that and I was like, you know, that's what makes a wrestling match. Like, that's one of the things that makes it.
That's awesome.
Is that push and pull to, like, what you said.
Yeah.
And, so what do you think about that?
I think that sounds great. If they're trying to make it more reminiscent of an actual wrestling match, but also make the gamer think more, it should be about as fun to watch as it is to play.
That's a good point. I feel like you're kind of getting the best of both worlds. You're getting that competitive, you know, fun back and forth in a competitive like fighting game or sports game.
So if you put like Undertaker against like Shawn Michaels, you can have more of a chance of like recreating that sort of moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're not just watching reversal.
I still need to watch that match.
You really do. Another mechanic that they introduced, which I thought was interesting, because this one's even more so maybe more of like a behind the scenes thing than it is something that you know, like your average viewer would know about. In your average wrestling match, especially like the longer pay-per-view ones, you have what are called rest holds.
Yeah.
It's when two guys are, you know, going back and forth. They have like a long offensive sequence and then they go strap on a submission and they hold it for a minute, two minutes, 3 minutes, and they're just buying time trying to rest up.
Yeah.
But on TV, when you're watching, you're seeing two guys, that are, you know, one guy has on a submission and the other guy can't escape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's obviously not what's happening, but that's what you're seeing, from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
And in reality, they're just buying time. So one other mechanic that they're introducing, they're not calling it rest holds, but basically you can strap on a submission and deplete some of your opponent's stamina while regaining some of your own. Uh-huh. And it's this sort of area where you can buy time, but it also has like a gameplay mechanic,
strategic thing, and that's another thing that would add that sort of tension, that sort of like, you know, it's not a life meter that goes down. It's this kind of, you know, it's not a binary thing. It's not you know, you're in it and then you're out. It's you have ways to elongate it and add to that drama and add to that tension between.
It sounds,
all that kind of stuff.
It sounds awesome, and it sounds like it adds a sort of technicality to a wrestling game that I would probably, it would take a long time for me to actually get good at myself, because you've seen how I am at wrestling games. I barely ever played them. I'm not very good at them. So, theoretically, it sounds amazing.
I would argue, though, that these mechanics are, like, on the surface, they're understandable enough to where even like somebody who doesn't know wrestling very well, once they understand the mechanics, like you could come in not knowing anything about wrestling, using these mechanics only, and you could have like a match that would rival something you'd see on TV.
Yeah.
You know,
in that case,
just from knowing the mechanics.
Yeah.
I'm all for it in that case. That sounds amazing.
I thought those two things were really cool, and I'm excited to see what else. And I like this approach. I like the approach to realism.
Are they still doing that chain wrestling thing that everyone hated? Okay.
They are.
Okay.
And in fact, they're adding to it like more different types of chain wrestling and different types of animations and.
Well, go ahead and define what like chain wrestling.
There's this warm up period at the beginning of matches in WWE 2K15 where you engage in this chain wrestling like mini game where your first like few grapples you go back and forth into these different holds and only certain guys do it, guys that you'd expect to do it in, on TV. And some people, like River said, some people didn't like it, or maybe they, I don't know if it's just that they didn't like the mechanic at all, or they didn't like how it was done.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was how it was done.
Yeah,
it was the kind of the rock paper scissors esque nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
I never played it, so
I personally I liked it.
Yeah,
And I liked the idea of chain wrestling and wanted to see them kind of expand on that. And you know, I'm sure there's other ways to do it, and maybe there's better ways to do it, but I didn't have a problem with how it was implemented. So I'm just curious to see how it all is going to play out.
Yeah.
Hopefully
it's a good one. Yeah. Hopefully like they're on a good track.
Yeah. Sounds like sounds on paper, cool. This stuff makes sense.
Yeah. WWE 2K16, getting the hard way.
Yeah, getting hard way in the...
Getting it hard way. Getting it hard way.
What does that mean?
Hard way is when you get busted open, but basically on accident, or sometimes on purpose. It's when you get busted open for real.
Accident.
Yeah,
like not by blading yourself.
Not yes.
Yeah. Okay. Hard way. Okay, I think I know about that.
Yeah, so like if I throw your head into a post, maybe you're not trying to, or maybe you are, but you hit the post harder than you... You know, maybe you normally would, and you actually get busted open for real.
Yeah.
Ow.
It can happen, and sometimes guys do it on purpose because you're not technically supposed to get bloodied. Yeah. But if they get hard weighed, then it's like, hey, it wasn't my fault. I hit this fucking post with my forehead. Mm. Anyway.
Someone drove a forklift over me.
I know. That's happened.
I know. That's what I know.
Okay. So another somebody got. In the Rock and Man,
it
got pinned with a forklift.
With a forklift, like a pallet, kegs on it, I think, or something like that. I don't know.
Another sports game that I wanted to just quickly touch on because something really cool got announced.
NBA,
was NBA 2K16.
Okay,
who
is compiling the soundtrack? That's all I care about.
Soundtrack is being done by three different producers, including DJ Premier.
Oh, are you serious?
Dead serious.
Wow.
The other one, DJ Khaled.
Oh!
So you have that dynamic.
And the second is Swizz Beatz.
I don't remember who the other one is, but those are the two
that's
that stand
two
out.
Staunchly different.
Very
quality-wise.
Yes.
Equilibrium.
I have to say, though, that the soundtrack is robust.
Okay.
And there are some really great standout tracks on there that I'm excited about.
Cool.
Some cool hip-hop.
Very cool.
So one thing, I don't know how much you guys know of this, but there's classic teams.
Yeah.
They got introduced first in 2K11.
Mm-hmm.
2K12 was the game that had a bunch more. They added to it. And that was the last time that they really did anything with it, 2K12.
Okay.
And then after that, they've just held on. They've been there.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't added or subtracted. They've just kind of been a side note.
Yeah.
And the thing is with the NBA... you have to go out and license these guys individually, they retired, you know, because they're not a part of like
the Players Association.
Yeah, they're not a part of the Players Association. So some of these guys have like lost big name players and they haven't really added anything. And so they're just kind of like hanging on by a thread almost.
Yeah.
And graphically they're not as good like in the current generation and stuff because guys are getting like scanned with like 100 cameras.
Yeah.
And then you have these guys who are now... Older, deceased, you know. And so obviously they're not going
to put a corpse in the scanner.
But one thing that I thought was really cool, they announced this year they're adding like 12 new classic teams, which I really like the classic teams, and I'm glad to see that they're putting an emphasis on it again. But the coolest part about it was they announced that the 99-2000 Trailblazers.
There you go.
Are one of the
classics. I was just about to say, yeah.
You may know these Blazers with guys, Scottie Pippen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Guys like Rasheed Wallace, Arvydas Sabonis.
Phil has no clue what you're saying right now.
I know who Scottie Pippen
I'm hoping you at least have heard these names growing up that you might have remembered them. So, anyway,
I had a cardboard cutout of Scottie Pippen dunking on my wall.
I remember it.
He never got there. He was working, though. He was working really hard.
Every year.
Fucked up, though, and put his head above the net. So he was going to end up...
overshooting just the backboard.
He was going to end up going through the backboard, and there's going to be an outline, a cartoon-like outline of him in
even
the backboard.
Even with his hair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that I'm
that's fucking awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
And then another piece of...
I want to know how the My Player campaign is, though.
Well, it's being produced and directed by Spike Lee.
That might be too good. That's fucking weird.
Yeah, Spike Lee is doing like directing the cutscenes and story elements and stuff. So
what?
We'll see.
What?
Yeah, it's a Spike Lee joint. The game.
That's weird. That's Spike really Lee. Weird.
It okay. is. It's interesting. We'll see.
All right.
We'll see. Fallout.
Yeah, Fallout.
To change tone into Fallout.
Not really, though.
Not really. Spike Lee joint, Fallout.
Spike Lee, yeah, you know.
One of the same. Two announcements that were made about Fallout this week. One was that there's no level cap, and two is that there's, like, no hard ending.
What does that mean by hard ending?
It means there's no, like... I'm trying to think of a good example. There's no like, okay, here's what happens in the story, you're done, you know.
There's no credits.
Yeah.
Okay.
The credits don't roll. So you go back and, you know, there's no...
That's it?
There's no like, okay, you finish this quest line, go continue to survive out in the wasteland. What that makes me... I wonder what they have in place to continue the game after you are done with, like... Because Skyrim had that thing where you had, like, randomly generated things that never ended, but they all ended up being, like, MMO-style quests.
Mm.
So, like...
I never played it till the end, so I know.
That, well, yeah, it was just the quests under Miscellaneous.
Oh, okay, right.
Those were endless. Those never stopped. So, but there was a level cap. So, like, are they just doing something like that, or do they have some revamped system to generate content that's more kind of... dynamic and interesting after you finish all their handwritten content? Or are they just going to be doing like this live game thing where they just keep adding shit to it?
Yeah. Or do they have their own sort of definition of hard ending, and it's just going to be kind of like a thing almost like The Witcher?
Yeah.
You know, so where you play the story and then you can still do
something.
And
then stuff you just after. Go back out and finish side quests. The rest of the stuff, yeah. What happens after all the side quests are done too?
That's a good point.
Yeah. What happens when you finish the authored content? Do you just break...
Maybe a couple months for an expansion, like The Witcher, I guess?
That's what I'm saying. Like, what if... I'm just theorizing, but what if it's like a live game thing where they just have, you know, some dedicated... Like a strike team, like a five-man strike team just making shit and pushing it out stealthily like that.
Man, I wish more developers would do a DLC system like Witcher 3 and just weekly
little DLC. Adding shit to it, yeah. It's been great. I opened up... I have it on through Galaxy, and I opened up...
And there's just 1,000 checkboxes.
Yeah, exactly. And download like 17 gigs of different uniforms for Triss.
Yeah.
I don't know how to access the new missions. I don't know where to come across them.
Like you can look them up online. I mean, they're in different places, different notice boards.
Yeah. Can you guys explain something about the notice boards? So the only the ones with the stamps, like the long ones, are actual quests, like the ones that go rah and give you like a quest. But the small ones, those just add the question marks. But I feel like every time I go to a notice board, there's 6 more of them. And I'm not sure. Do I need to read those? Or are they just automatically adding those question marks?
It's just a new location to go find.
Yeah, but is there really that... But there's always 6 of them at every notice board.
I swear that I've seen some repeat.
That's what I'm wondering. Is like, is it? Am I just? Do I need to read them to get the question marks? Or if I don't read them, do they just reapply on the post boards?
I don't know.
Much thought into it.
I've
pretty much. That's the main thing that I think about when I play that game. It's like, am I?
Why are there more?
Yeah. How many fucking question marks can my map get?
Stop posting here, you shitty townspeople.
You fucking beggar.
Yeah, you.
Have you ever heard? I know you guys talked about NPC babble in that game before, but there's one that I've never heard before up until very recently, and now I hear it everywhere. I just walk past a guy and he says, "There's nothing that hurts more than life."
I haven't heard that yet.
I hear it like all the time now.
I haven't heard that.
You've heard it.
Yeah, the farting guy.
No, I've just heard that. There's nothing that hurts more than life.
Weird. I'm
like, you should put that guy out of his fucking
misery. I should. Just run him through.
God. So
Fallout, yeah.
Yeah. So
Fallout. So no level cap. I've never hit a level cap in a Fallout game anyway, so
me neither.
That's
I have hit the ending.
That's the bigger thing, is like it feels weird to announce that because I feel like that has been kind of the standard MO for these style of games, is just to put you back in the world, like after you're done with the main quest line. So, which leads me like to think, is there something more that they have saved?
It's a good point. If they're willing to use that as a
like you did, yeah, you did that in Skyrim. Like you beat the main story, and then you're just okay, peace. Like go do other stuff.
Yeah.
So it makes me think that, it at least makes me hope that there's something that they're not saying, like some kind of new dynamic system that they've created to generate content like that. Or something, you know, some plan they have to keep it going, but I don't know.
Maybe there's just outposts that keep respawning, oh, and that's God. What they meant, like yeah. In Far Cry 2.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, God.
Far Cry 2. Maybe you get malaria after you beat the end of the game and you have to keep finding medicine for
God.
It.
God. I hope not. Oh, another thing that happened this week in gaming that I didn't mention was Vega got announced for Street Fighter V.
Yeah, hell yeah, and he looks different.
He looks different.
Right?
He's got a different look, a different play style. He's no longer a charge character.
Really?
Yeah. They are, like, completely changing it up. Wow. I mean, it's awesome.
Huh.
They are focusing much more on offense. Okay. And I think that's mainly why there's less focus on, like, charge characters, is just because they want this risk reward sort of constantly pushing and not having people, you know, doing like turtle
just maneuvers. Yeah, just, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm happy that people are so embracive of all these differences. I think they did and I think I brought this up a couple of weeks ago, but didn't they try to do that with Tekken 4? They try to do something different.
I have people. No fucking clue.
Phil, you are the resident Tekken expert.
And yeah, you are.
Back to, you are. And then they went back to basics with Tekken 5 and it's just been the same thing ever since.
So
that being said, I'm glad that they're giving people a reason to
heard
buy the
Mokujin's
next Street
coming
game.
To Street Fighter.
We can only hope.
Yeah,
him and Terminator.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that it's a new number, you know.
I fucking hope Sagat's announced soon, or I'm gonna.
You're gonna start freaking out
if we get to like, because I think they said there's 16 launch characters.
Yeah.
If we get to 15 and Sagat hasn't been
announced
yet, I'm gonna puke.
Yeah, I know.
I'm gonna puke on Phil's.
But like head. All like for like until he's announced.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep puking until he's announced.
You're
every
gonna
day. I'm gonna wake
so
up
emaciated.
And check the gaming
yeah.
news, and if
Sagat's not. They have to put him in, right?
He's got to be, right?
He's
a signature character.
What if they change him, though?
That's okay.
Okay.
I'm cool with that.
Okay.
I just want him in there.
Okay.
If he's, like, old and has, like, cool old guy goatee and stuff.
I hope he's old.
And he has like, a bald, like, this hair that's like George Costanza.
And he's fat?
I don't... Yeah, if he's fat,
and
as long as he's
his shirts
there.
Into jeans.
He just has... He has tall butt dad jeans. Oh, man.
Wranglers. Or, no, Lees. Sorry.
Yeah.
Lees.
Lees.
Yeah, Lees are what dads wear.
I just want him in there, man.
Yeah, I know. You'll get him, man.
Promise?
Yeah, but it'll have stretchy limbs and it'll be named Dalsim.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
If Dalsim is in there
and Sagat's not...
That'll change things, Phil. I'll change.
It would, man.
I'll change.
That you will be a different.
The
man.
Next King of Fighters is gonna have Sagat, though.
Oh, God!
You're gonna have a real hard choice.
Yikes!
Between Terry and Sagat, or Sagat, as Philip would call him sometimes, probably.
Look, I was raised to call him Saget, all right? That's just what my dad called him.
Wait, I was right?
Everyone in his apartment called him.
Saget?
Yeah, Saget. I know it's Sagat now. I know it's Sagat.
It's Ryu, Philip.
Saget and Ryu.
No, it is Ryu.
It's not.
It's no, Ryu. It's not. It's Ryu.
Okay, I'll call it fucking Ryu. Ryu's so cool.
So, alright, so that's the Gamescom stuff.
Okay, yeah.
So another thing that outside of Gamescom that got shown was the Deadpool trailer.
Deadpool yes. fucking trailer.
Oh shit! So
you all watched the Red Band, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It ties into the X-Men universe, I guess.
Yeah,
that's you cool. Didn't?
Oh, you saw
the? I didn't see the Red Band trailer.
Oh, you didn't?
Fuck, dude.
No, it's much better.
Yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Colossus is in it, dude.
I saw Colossus in the trailer I watched.
Okay, so maybe you saw something.
And Colossus
similar.
Looked fucking awesome.
It right? just yeah. showed a lot more like of the actual violence and a lot more swearing and yes. a lot funnier shit.
Okay, I'll have to watch it. Damn, yeah. I'm an idiot.
It's just like he talks how you would imagine. Because
he says, well, he says to. Like at the end of the Green Man, he's
I
like,
"No, dude."
Okay,
I heard it, and then I got pulled away.
Okay,
to poop or something. Never came back.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It
I
looks
went to another tab.
Oh, fuck. You could have watched it there, man.
Yeah.
It was a good. I'm excited.
It's I'm
gonna
excited,
be,
too.
I think it's going to blow up.
I'm excited because I like Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's so true to the character so far. Like,
yeah.
I loved it in the teaser for the trailer.
They made,
said from the studio that the inexplicably sold my fucking mouth
shut. Yeah, I was just about to say that.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah. It looks like I don't know much about obviously, you know, Marvel and, mm-hmm. and superheroes and
but
stuff.
Deadpool like, is like getting to be the point where he's getting to be like Wolverine, where he started out as a cool character. But he's just getting bigger and bigger.
He
and
is.
Bigger.
He's getting much bigger.
He's become so mainstream.
His game was fucking awesome. I don't care what anyone says.
Anyways, you liked it? Oh, that was it.
I just said it was fucking awesome.
You liked it?
Yeah.
You're not being
how many
sarcastic?
Times did he have?
I heard it was really bad, but how is it?
Hey, I never heard
I
it was really
I said
bad.
It was fucking awesome, Philip.
Okay, you're serious, though.
Yes.
Okay, I believe you.
It reminded me of playing old, like, Spider-Man games.
That's cool, man.
Like, Spider-Man 2, and it was
oh,
just,
that's really cool.
It was a simple, like, arcadey action game with a lot of, like, Deadpool shit in it.
Awesome.
It was awesome. It was so fun.
Good.
It was just one of those games where you sit back and don't think too much about it and just enjoy it.
That's awesome.
But like I did like I knew like he was sick and that's why they but I like that they were showing I like that they were also showing some like human
yes.
side of him. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just all Deadpool shenanigans
yes,
the whole
exactly.
time.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah,
you want to make a movie out of that. All be
exactly, that. And it showed like yeah, it showed him as a like an actual human and like you know some amount of fear that he was covering up with his you know like personality that you know it's I'm interested. I'm very interested. I'm going to see it.
So let me ask you this, guys, to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Looking back at all the Gamescom stuff, mm-hmm. what is one game that maybe you wasn't quite on your radar that really is now for looking back at Gamescom.
Scalebound.
Yeah, I was gonna say Scalebound too, because mm-hmm. I said that was 100% under my radar.
Quantum Break is no slouch.
Quantum Break, I've never thought the only time I was ever skeptical of Quantum Break was E3 2013
mm-hmm.
or 12 or whatever when they first showed it and it was just like a TV show or something like that. Yeah. But that ever since then it's like awesome. Scalebound. I want to know more about that. Like, I have heard the name. For fuck if all I know, it was just a collectible card game.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I thought it was. I thought it was Soul Forge or something like that. and so now that I know it's like a platinum action game with a really strong aesthetic, like, I want to know more about that one. So, Soulbound wins Gamescom for me.
What about you, Phil? You
yeah, I agree.
Same thing
I agree.
For you?
See,
yeah.
I'm going to pick Quantum Break.
Okay.
And not that I was ever not sold on Quantum Break, because I have a lot of trust in Remedy.
Yeah.
Because I've loved everything they've done.
Yeah.
But I will say that they showed some of the things that they showed for Quantum Break this time that they haven't showed in the past few conferences or whatever, really just kind of put me over the edge, like just being actually genuinely excited for it. Like I was sold and I was like, yeah, this is going to be a good game.
Yeah.
But seeing some of the story elements and some more of like the action pieces and just the game in general and how polished it is. And, and I'm just, I'm stoked for it.
Yeah.
And that, and it took this conference to get me there.
Okay.
Took their showing at this conference.
That's totally fair. Yeah.
So
I also think Rise of the Tomb Raider looks like it's going to be pretty good, I think.
I think it'll be, I loved it. I really
fucking,
loved
it. That Tomb Raider was so good. It that was such so, a good game.
Why was it so long?
It was
I
really long.
I kept thinking I was going to beat it, and I loved it. I think that was
Some, like that scene where you were running through the mountain village and everything was shattering apart and there was like a helicopter shooting at you.
Oh, God.
That was one of the best scenes I can remember in recent memory.
Very much.
Can I say also something about Remedy?
Please.
I feel like Remedy is, I feel like Remedy is Quantic Dreams, but actually make games. Quantic Dreams being the Indigo Prophecy and Heavy Rain. I feel like they have a lot of things, at least cinematically, in common and like idealistically that they try to do similar. Just I think feel like Remedy makes actual.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah,
there's, like they don't make like the sort of adventure game or the interactive cutscene type of game.
Yeah,
they make actual.
They make actual games, but in a lot like tone and a lot of like their artistic choices and their cinematography and that kind of stuff. It's always
and the story and themselves.
They always seem tangentially like very similar.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah,
that's a really good point.
I don't know. I'm not saying I like Quantic Dream stuff. Like I liked Indigo Prophecy or Fahrenheit or whatever you want to call it.
I love
Beyond Two Souls. Beyond Two Souls was fucking awesome.
I played Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, and I love both of those.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
So I agree with you guys. Scalebound is I was to pick like top three, Scalebound would be
Scalebound
in there somewhere. Just because I'm really interested.
Weirdly reminds me of DMC, Devil May Cry.
I loved DMC.
I never played it. Well, I played it, but I played like two levels of it.
I loved it.
Watched you pretty much beat the whole thing.
Yeah.
So
I really loved it. So guys, that is a show.
That's a show.
You can email us
at
pixelchickenpodcast@gmail.com. Like us on facebook.com/pixelchickenpodcast, and follow us on Twitter as well. That's @pixel_chicken. As always, thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you enjoyed Gamescom. We hope you enjoyed Gamescom.
I don't.
You don't?
Yeah, I.
Okay.
I'm sad on.
Fair enough. And we will see you next week.
We will see you next week.
Peace.
I give this episode 3
out of 5.